My name is Lisa Nicole, singer, songwriter, creator, realtor, lover of my cats and hiking, and well, I couldn't be here without coffee, and I'm your host of the Wild Hearts Podcast. Season 2 brings deep, heartfelt stories, inspiration, and education from guests based here in BC. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you kindly for listening. Now let's get to the show. Today's podcast is going to be the most special one for me. I wrote a song on my album that's dropping later this year called Dear Mama. At the time I wrote it, it was another way to reach out to my mom and to try to let her know I was never giving up on her. And I wanted to bring my mom, Shannon, on the podcast today because I think her story can inspire women, inspire them to make big changes in their life, and that it's never too late. My mom is 57, and after 40 years, she's officially quit drinking, and she is 1 year sober. She's no longer dependent on alcohol or T3s to cope with her pain. And this has just been the highlight of my 2020, 2021, because I know when you're dealing with addiction, it's not something that you just, it just gets cured one day, because it's a constant battle. And I'm just so proud that she's taken this step. She's also without the man who broke her down mentally and physically, literally broke her bones. And this has not been an easy battle, and you're going to hear her story today. We've always been close, but there's been a lot of tough years, some fights and ups and downs, mostly because we both care about each other so much and I was never going to give up. She's gone through more in her life than any woman should ever have to go through, from dealing with chronic pain to abusive men and having to cope with it in all the wrong ways. But she's come out on the other side, shining more beautiful than ever. And I may be biased, but I think my mom is just the cutest and the sweetest mom, like, ever. When I was recording this, or writing this, I got off the phone with her and so she could go make her tea and watch the Waltons with her cats. I won't go on too long being cheesy about it, but she is just my angel and my best friend. Welcome, Mom.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm so happy to be on your podcast.
I know.
I followed all your other ones, and
I know.
I'm really happy to do this.
Aw, thanks, Mom. I know you're my biggest fan.
And you are mine.
Yes, true. So where to start? I know this is going to be a tough conversation, of course. We are so close, and we've had a lot of these conversations over the years. But for you to come on here, I know it's hard and scary, Mom, and I just think that you really do inspire so many people, including myself out there. Let's start with the day that we took you to the Kelowna Hospital, and we'll kind of work back to how everything in your life led you to that moment. This was May 11th, which we just passed May 11th, and correct, it was the day after Mother's Day. And gosh, I remember I drove you there, and you could barely walk in by yourself.
Yes.
You were so weak. So do you want to take listeners through that day? I mean, leading up to it even, like with the doctor and just how your weight was and how you're feeling. And
I guess leading up to that, it maybe 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
That my health really started to go really downhill.
Uh-huh.
Bad.
Yeah.
By May of last year, I was down to 78 pounds.
Yeah.
And I was just skin and bone, pretty much. And it got to the point with my drinking, of course, too. That definitely didn't help matters much.
Yeah.
Probably made things a lot worse.
Yeah.
By the time I got to the hospital, they were going to run so many tests, which they did, the doctors. I had two specialists, a doctor,
yeah,
and they were just running every test possible,
yeah,
you know, to find out reasons why and
yeah,
why I was so sick.
Yeah.
And they were just amazing there.
Because you've been through a few doctors who haven't been able to figure, yes, it out, right?
Yeah, over the year, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Unanswered questions and not knowing why.
Because I'd say your weight loss, you slowly started to lose weight over the years. But then at that one point, it was like dramatic. You went from like 120 to like 78.
Yes.
Over like 6 months.
Yeah.
Oh, it was hard. And it was hard because every time I would see you or I'd come over, I'd wrap my arms around you for a hug. And it was just, yeah, it was bones.
Yeah, I know.
And
I couldn't even stand to look at myself in the mirror.
I know. And like you said earlier today, you were talking about what other people
thought of me. Oh.
Probably thought.
Yeah. You know, I used to get looks, and
yeah,
the way I looked, right, people would definitely take notice. And
yeah,
I'm sure they probably thought I was like a drug addict or something.
I know. And it's so sad because you really can't look at someone and ever judge them.
No.
Like a lot of people will say, oh, wow, that woman's so skinny. I wish I had her body. What if she was seriously sick like you were?
Yeah.
You don't wish you had that, you know?
for sure.
I just remember sitting there with the doctor, and I wasn't even supposed to be there because it was COVID.
Right.
Remember? And I kind of snuck up there.
Yeah.
So I was sitting there with the doctor and you, and I mean, I had been begging my mom for years to quit drinking, right, Mom? And I sat there and I said, are we going to talk about you quitting drinking? Right? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then when you ended up coming out of the hospital, how long were you in there again? 3 days?
Yeah, I believe so. It was three.
And then you just haven't drank since?
No. Nope. Don't even miss it one bit.
Oh, isn't that crazy? You're just over a year sober.
Yeah.
Oh, it blows my mind.
Oh, it feels pretty amazing. And
I know.
I just wouldn't have been able to go through all that without the support of my loving daughter, Lisa, and the rest of my family and friends.
I know.
They were all there to support me. And
well, I mean, you think of like, even maybe a year and a half ago, we've had tried to have few intervention type things, right?
Right.
And just so many times you and I would be just screaming and yelling at each other.
Yeah, we had some bigger ones for sure.
It was hard. And yeah, I remember that last one at Uncle Mike's. And
yeah,
that was
a bad one.
Yeah. It's always my idea to do these. And I don't know. I just always just tried to do anything and everything.
Yeah, many of our discussions and fights or whatever verbally, you know, about my drinking, it just, I think when you were pushing me, I guess I wanted just to drink more and continue drinking, right?
Yeah.
I guess until I got to that point when, you know, I made the decision myself, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think myself, as someone who's trying to ask that person to quit drinking, that's what happens is you push them and you push them and then it pushes them away or it pushes them further over the edge, like you just said.
I just remember laying in the hospital there over the days. At that point, my health was so bad that I was scared I was going to die.
I know.
Yeah, the drinking was just, I thought about it and I knew I wouldn't drink again.
Oh, there's been so many times. I remember one time when we lived in the other house where I had to carry you into my car into the hospital. Remember that?
Right, yeah.
Like, it's just been so many close calls, and I'm just so grateful that you finally took the plunge. And you're so, Mom, you're so different. She's like, she's bright and she's funny and like just laughs and so happy. And I just remember, you know, always calling you in. I'd be like, how are you? And and you were just always so down, you know, before. Yeah. But now you're just so positive about life. And it's a 180. So, and how many pounds later now, Mom? What are you at now? From 78 to?
120.
120.
Woohoo!
Oh, my God. But that's like, it's like over 40 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah, when you say 40 pounds, that's a lot of weight.
It's a lot. Thanks to all those O. Henry bars, I think.
Yeah.
She literally eats like an O. Henry bar every night.
Sometimes two. Two a day.
Oh, God. I wish. We've had many arguments over the years. And a lot of me, of course, like I said, wanting you to quit drinking and get healthy. And I knew you would be a completely different person. Like I just said, you are. But even more, as the years went by, you were with some pretty bad men. And I remember begging you not to go back to this one person, this very toxic relationship. And I think that relationship damaged you more than any of the others.
Definitely.
And I know that there was so much you didn't tell me about until way after, because often that's what people do in the relationship. They don't tell the people close to them what's really going on.
That's right.
We'll call him John for privacy reasons.
Okay.
Unless you really want to call him by his real name. We're not going to give him that much power. How many years were you with him, I guess? Let's start there.
About 8 years.
Holy.
Yeah. There's one breakup in between.
Yeah. For about, that breakup was probably about a year, hey?
Maybe close to a year.
Yeah. At what point did you realize there was something seriously wrong? And like, when did things get scary?
Well, I'd have to say maybe 3 years into our relationship.
Yeah. And Mom was living in Alberta at the time and I was here. So I wasn't seeing you often. I know there were many incidents. What was the first thing that you were just like, whoa?
Well, the harshest one was the physical abuse.
Yeah.
And that's when he fractured my shoulder in two places and tore all my tenants out. Yeah. And we had both been drinking.
Yeah.
Of course. We had just gotten home and he was pissed off because on our way home, he was scaring me the way he was driving. And so he was holding some anger. When we pulled into the yard, my truck was parked right beside where I pulled in. And he'd get out of the truck and he walked over and just took his fist and smashed my window on my truck.
Oh my God.
And then he came around to my side because I, that's right, I was driving. I got him to, that's why he was mad, because
you got
got him to stop so I could drive because he was scaring me.
Yeah.
So he walked around my side of the truck, driver's side, and just pulled me, yanked me right out of the truck and threw me to the ground.
Oh.
If you know Alberta at all, their weather and stuff, mm-hmm. like when it rains and then it dries up, it's like cement.
Oh, the ice.
Like, no, not the ice, just the mud.
Oh.
It was like hitting cement, right?
Oh.
Yeah. And I just remember him coming to me after he did that. And I was just freaking out and waving my hands. Don't you touch me. Don't touch me. You know, I was just so freaked out by what he had just done.
Yeah.
And he finally left me alone. And I think he went into the house. And I ended up driving myself to the hospital with my bones sticking out. You know, my back kind of thing, right?
Oh my God.
Because my clavicle.
Yeah.
And I got to the hospital and I was there probably for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And then they let me go. And where did I go?
Back.
Right back to the house, right? Where he was. I remember he was sound asleep when I got home.
I know, like nothing had happened.
Yeah. And I remember yanking the covers off and waking him up and told him what he had done, right? But.
And did he even come to? Did he say anything at that point?
No, not really.
No.
No.
And what about the next day?
He had some regrets, like, I'm sorry, you know.
Of course. As they always do.
Yes, of course. I'll never do that again. I'll never touch you again.
Mm-hmm. And also, you've told me about the verbal abuse, like machete.
Sometimes that's even harder to cope with than the physical abuse. Yeah, I laid in bed at night, and he thought I was asleep when he came in, and he'd be talking away, and I heard him say once that, I wish you were dead. I should take a machete knife after you and kill you. And
oh, my God.
Yeah. So I was terrified to sleep.
We laugh about it now, but
oh, it was terrifying, yeah.
It was crazy. I remember, I haven't talked about this, but when we did my music video, you both came down and to see me or whatever to be there, and you had left. Because he must have been getting too drunk. I don't know why you left. He got into the wine. He was completely... Yeah. Anyways, I ended up driving him home. And that was when he told me that you... He just blurted out, your mom has colon cancer. And I was like, wow. Thanks for like... And the whole night and the evening doing my music video, he was absolutely horrible. Trying to talk to all the girls and just... I was crying on set, you know, by the time we left. And I was like so apologetic to my whole crew because I was so embarrassed. Gross. And then he blurts that out on the way home. And then we get home and then he's being, you know, crazy Rex, and we had to call the cops. Actually, Jeremy called the cops.
Yeah.
One of my crew who was staying at my house. And just I remember so many nights when he would be drinking and I would catch him talking to himself.
Oh, he did that a lot.
And it was scary talk, like what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be like punching the air and just like saying these crazy things.
Yeah.
Like about killing, and it was crazy. Oh, and then what about, there was another incident in Rock Creek. That was actually after you'd gone back together.
Yeah, towards the end of our relationship, we decided to move from Alberta back to BC here.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed in Grand Forks for a little bit, and then we eventually rented a place in Rock Creek.
Yeah.
It was another day of drinking. Well, every day was a day of drinking, but I didn't drink nearly as much as he did, but I still drank. Yeah, he was pissed off and in an angry mood. And I was in the kitchen and there was like a little balcony kind of attached to the trailer.
Yeah.
And so I could like talk to him through the window and he was sitting outside on the balcony or whatever.
Yeah.
And he got pissed off and I was standing by the window and he just tried to pull me through, yank me through the window.
God.
And that was the end.
Yeah.
I never ever called 911 before on him. And that was the first time.
Aww.
And that's when the police came.
And then they put a restraining order on him, did they?
Yeah, he was charged with assault.
Yeah.
And restraining order. And
he also tried to control you when you were in Alberta, right? Money and food.
Oh, yes. Definitely money and food. And
then he was cheating on you. It's just like, it just goes on and on with that guy.
Like, I remember many times, well, I shouldn't say many, but two times for sure, I was driving the truck once again because he was too drunk.
Yeah.
And we were a couple hours away from home, and I was driving, and he got pissed off or something, and he just lifted his legs and kicked the steering wheel with all his might with his 2 feet.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm trying, you know, doing 90 kilometers an hour or more.
Oh, God.
On the highway, and I'm trying to control this truck.
Yeah.
And it was just horrible. And I come to a stop and I told him, I said, I don't want to die. If you want to die,
yeah,
you know, but I don't want to die.
Yeah.
And the other time he did that, I stopped the truck and got him to get out of the truck.
Yeah.
And I started to drive away. We were about maybe 14 kilometers out of town.
Yeah.
So I drove away. And then, of course, I got down a couple of kilometers and felt bad for kicking him out of the truck.
Yeah.
You know, because we were still about 14 kilometers from home, right?
Yeah.
So I felt bad and turned around to go back and get him. And he wouldn't get in the truck.
Oh.
So I thought, fine, walk home then. I don't give a heck. But then I paid for it when he did finally get home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was sound asleep. And of course, he woke me up and threw me outside.
What?
I managed to get my house coat on.
Oh, Mom.
He threw me outside and locked the door on me. And I remember just yelling and begging him because it was cold out then. Like, yeah. cold.
Like minus?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And just screaming and begging him to open the door. And
oh.
It took him a while, but he finally did let me in.
Oh. See, I haven't heard that one. And I don't, you know, there's probably so many more that there's probably so many things that happen that you can't even compile. And
like, yeah.
How did you leave the first time? Because I remember Grandma and Grandpa were close by, like they lived about an hour away or something.
Yeah, they were just over an hour away from where we lived. And they were moving back to BC.
Right.
They were going to get a U-Haul. So I thought, well, this is my way to get out, right?
Yeah.
While he was at work during the day.
Yeah.
I'd slowly start putting stuff out of the house, slowly start taking stuff out of the house that he wouldn't notice, right?
Yeah.
And I'd fill up my car and take him to Mom and Dad's and leave stuff there and then come back.
Did Grandma and Grandpa wonder, like, what was going on? Did you kind of tell them?
Well, yeah.
A little bit.
They knew because I talked to them on the phone.
Yeah.
They didn't know to the extent of the abuse. And
yeah.
But they've seen him at his worst, too, many times, too. Yeah, so.
Really? And even that night when he was at our place, Garrett wanted to beat the heck out of him.
Yeah.
Oh, there's been so many times. I remember one time driving back from Kaskar, the three of us, to Grand Forks, and he was driving like a maniac. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I was so scared.
I know.
It was crazy. He was driving in so insane.
Yeah, and I couldn't stop him. He wouldn't listen to me.
Wouldn't listen to me even.
No, I know.
I don't even think he'd been drinking at that point. One wonders, like, how does a victim go back to their abusive relationship? And I think it's as simple as you have hope. And you love them, and well, you're manipulated. But abusers, they start off charming and romantic, and as I remember, he was.
Yes.
And you're all in love, and especially so when it's paired with power and manipulation, it's tough to push against it. And even when victims find themselves the courage to leave, as you did the first time, or stand up for themselves, it's common to get pulled back in.
Yes.
So how did he reel you back in the first time? Because you were living just down the street here.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I think I got a phone call. You were like going back and I was like, oh my God. No.
Yeah. As strange as it sounded, like I still loved him.
I know. Yeah.
He had just lost his mom.
Right.
So then that really tugged at my heart, right, too.
Yeah.
The way he talked, the sweet talk, and he would never, ever hurt me ever again.
Uh-huh.
And eventually he pulled me back in and I moved back out to Alberta.
Yeah, that manipulation and that control. And do you think he like controlled you so much that he just really broke down who you are and your self-worth? And
oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, it's not funny, but it's crazy because we always thought, oh, he's going to be in jail sometime one day for killing a guy or something. And I remember not too long ago when you broke up with him the last time. It's been a couple of years now. It's
going on 4 years now.
4 years. But I remember he ended up in jail for stabbing a guy.
Yeah, he's still, my restraining order was a year, and it was still within that year.
Oh, yeah.
That he did that, and he wasn't supposed to be around weapons or anything, right?
And he goes and stabs someone.
Yeah.
Like, you guys, I'm telling you, this guy was absolutely nuts. Like, to the extreme of...
Psycho.
It was, and oh my gosh, my poor mom was just with him for so long, and... If you could give women advice about these kind of relationships or how to get out of them, what would you say?
I would say to watch out for the signs. There are signs in the beginning.
Yeah.
Really listen to your gut instincts and
mm-hmm.
don't ignore them. And I know that's easier said than done because there had been signs and those gut feelings for me too.
Uh-huh.
But I was still so much in love with him, right?
Yeah. That, what kind of signs do you think that showed up early on for him?
One that really strikes out to me is when I went and met his mom for the first time.
Yeah.
The way he spoke to her with so much disrespect and whatever. And I was just like shocked. And I just said to him, I said, you apologize to your mother right now. You shouldn't be talking to her like that. You know, so he did apologize to his mother.
Were there any other signs that you remembered? What about the drinking? Did he drink a lot in the beginning?
I would say no, he didn't drink nearly as much in the beginning, because halfway through our relationship, he was drinking from morning till night, all during the night.
Right.
So he wasn't drinking that much.
And you said, I remember you saying you had to hide food on him and stuff and everything.
Oh, I know. Like between his drinking and his pot smoking, like buy groceries or whatever. And
he would eat everything.
He'd just eat whatever. And I go to grab something, it's all gone. And, you know, we even bought things like, okay, six of this for you, six of this for me, of the same thing, right? And he'd eat my share of the stuff too.
Just never leave anything for you.
No, it used to piss me off a lot.
I bet. You dare touch my old Henry's. So is there any other advice you'd give to women, you think?
Hard as it seems, me going back, how to get out of relationships like that. I felt like probably most women do, that there's no way out, or I learned differently that there is ways of getting out.
Yeah.
There is support out there for women. Women should definitely seek out their options and not just be stuck there.
Yeah.
I felt that I didn't have many options, so I stuck by them year after year. And
but I think that like your family or your friends or anybody that's close to you will always support you.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And you maybe at that time feel like you don't want to be that burden on them.
Yeah, like you said, I didn't tell my family a lot of really what was going on, right?
Yeah.
I hid a lot of stuff from my family and friends.
So it's been said that women are often drawn into these relationships because of trauma that may have happened in the past or how they grew up, or you know, maybe their parents were a certain way, and then those are the people that kind of end up being attracted to you. But I'm not sure if you want to touch on this, Mom, but trauma really started young for you.
Yeah.
With Uncle Ed.
Yeah, I suffered from child abuse at a very early age.
Yeah.
And it went on for years. And
you tried to tell Grandma, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
No, it wasn't until a lot of years later.
Oh.
I guess probably I didn't say anything because, as young as I was at times, I didn't think anything was wrong with what was happening.
Like, was it sexual abuse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought maybe it was normal.
Like love, you just thought maybe it was love. And like, how old were you when it started?
Probably about 9.
Wow.
Yeah. It haunted me for a lot of years of my life. But I did seek out help.
Yeah.
You know, with proper counseling and, you know, I was able to put that behind me.
Yeah.
And move on. You know, I never forget, but it's not always in my thoughts every day now. And
of course. It's crazy because everything that we've talked about so far in this conversation, no person should ever have to go through one of those things in their life.
Right.
You know, and like you've been through so much and it makes me so sad. And yeah, it's a lot. But throughout all of this, you've also had fibromyalgia.
Yeah.
Like if you just add something else.
Yeah.
You had that scare with cancer and you're recently diagnosed with osteoporosis.
Yeah.
So what would you say were those coping mechanisms throughout those years that really led you to that like 78 pounds in the hospital?
Yeah. I guess substance abuse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done lots of counseling over the years. That's for sure.
I know I've pestered you and bugged you over the years. And like I said, we fought and we've argued, but I was just never willing to give up on you. And I'm so
glad. Thank you for that, sweetheart.
Oh man, I'm so glad I didn't, because look at you now, Mom.
Like, yeah, I feel wonderful.
You're just on this new path and it's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just I'm like getting to know my mom all over again.
That's right, yeah.
I really am.
Yeah. And you and I are getting to know each other again in a way too, you know, where you're getting older now too.
Yeah.
We can talk a lot more about different things.
And
now the ages that we're at.
And
I'm so thankful for that.
Before, it's like I used to be, I'd only call you in the morning because I knew you wouldn't be drinking. And whenever I called you past like 3 o'clock or whatever, I would just get upset.
Yes.
Now he talked to you like 3 times a day in the morning, in the middle of the day, and then always like a good night at 9 o'clock. And oh my God, our goodbyes are the longest. Yeah. Like, Garrett's just like laughing every time. It's like, okay, sweet dreams, good night. Okay, love you. Okay, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay, well, bye. Okay. It's like, oh, and I just love it so much. I'm just so happy for you, Mom. And
yeah, I remember the first couple months of my sobriety.
Yeah.
You used to always phone me, never text me at night, but you used to always phone me, make sure you talk to me.
I know.
Because you were still a little unsure
about
my drinking, I guess.
It's really been more like just the last month that I slowly haven't been calling every night.
Yeah, because she could tell right off the bat. Uh-huh. As soon as she talked to me, she could tell I was drinking. So.
Yeah, I could, and you would try to hide it from me every time.
Of course. You've been drinking, Mom. How many have you had? Only a couple. No, you've had more than that.
Yeah. Oh, God. So, Mom, what are you excited about for the future? I mean, besides, like, chilling with your cats and watching the Waltons.
Yeah. I love the Waltons. I wish I could go back to that 1937-39.
Yeah. Okay, we can say she's single and on the market. If anyone, if we have any nice men out there that don't drink.
Yeah.
My mom is beautiful and kind and sweet, so just throwing that out there. What are you excited about?
Just life itself and spending time with my family, because it's so much on a different level now.
I know.
Than what it's been for so long.
I know.
And hearing from them, you know, how proud they are of me, and excited about just doing silly little things like enjoying going out camping and
going for walks
and
to
have that one-on-one time with family and friends, and
you
know, just being able just to sit around and talk without alcohol or anything else.
And aren't you seeing how like fun it is?
Yeah. You know, I'd like to, at my age, not that old yet, I'd like to get into a relationship again.
Yeah, me too, for you.
Yeah, I'd say travel some, but look at where we're at.
Yeah, I know. So for your 25th, your birthday, not your 25th birthday, last year we said that we would give you a trip. It'd be like a mother-daughter trip for your 1 year sober if you made it there.
Yeah.
And here we are 1 year later. And unfortunately, we can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
We're going to have to postpone our trip. Yeah. Still going to go. I don't know where, but
it'll be awesome wherever we go.
I know. You know, I don't drink very much, so we're good companions in that way.
Yeah.
I don't need that in my life.
Like, I can still be around people that drink.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me at all.
Which that was also made me nervous. Every time we went anywhere, if it was someone that didn't know, I'd be like, just so you know, please don't talk about drinking. Please don't drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just anything that would trigger you. I was always just so mindful and just being like, okay, I don't want this to trigger my mom, you know? And like, you've had a lot of things happen this year. You know, in the last year, we lost grandma and grandpa. And we've had a few things go on this year that we don't need to get into, but big life things that could have triggered you. And
oh, yeah, definitely. Without this support, like I said,
you
know, I probably would have drank during the loss of parents or whatever, but
yeah, it's just been so fun this last year with you. And like I said, 2020 was like shit, such a shit year, but this has just been my highlight.
Yeah, me too.
Been the best thing that's happened in my life for a long time, so.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when this song comes out on my album, Dear Mama, the significance of it is different now.
I know. I remember the first time I heard it, I cried.
Yeah. Aw. It's just, you know, I'm still going to put it on there, but it's just different. And I know people will know that by the time it comes out.
Well, I hope they'll get some inspiration from that.
Gosh, this song and this podcast, there's just so much brightness in your future if you, you know, when you're ready to take it. And that's what people need to know. And just to never give up on yourselves or the people that you love.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on today, Mom.
Oh, it was awesome. Thanks, honey. All the power to the women.
All the power to the woman. And the men.
Well, and the men.
And
there's
those
a lot of good
don't
ones out there, too.
All the power to everyone.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening. If you have a moment to leave a review on whichever platform you're listening from, that would be awesome. And I would love to hear from you over on Instagram at Lisa Nicole Music. I'll see you next week.